so good to be with you this morning. Gina and I have been traveling, and we've been out of town, and I just really felt like last night I just needed to be here in light of all of the things going on in our own city. And so I got a 6 a.m. flight from Tulsa, Oklahoma this morning to be back today. So I am glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here today, because it's in times like this we need a word from God. You know, we need to hear what God wants to say to us. And I was really asking the Lord, where do we start? You know, how do you talk about such a horrific event? How do you begin to put into words such a painful and difficult situation going on right now in the lives of so many people in our city? And it was at that moment that I was reminded of some words that I had heard from Pierce O'Farrell. Now, you guys may not know Pierce, but Pierce is an Edge Church member. He was shot early Friday morning, shot in the arm, and he's been over all the national media has been talking with him. He was on Nightline and 48 Hours last night. CNN was here at our early service filming just a few minutes ago. They're going to have Pierce's story as one of the features on AC360 tonight, if you want to check that out. And they filmed part of our service today because Pierce told them that he was really going to miss being at church on Sunday. And they said, well, you know, we need to know about your church. And so they brought the camera crew and filmed here at the 9:30 service. And what has happened is that Pierce has been able to share a little bit about what God has been doing in his heart with the national media. And people are going crazy over it because Pierce's theme and what he's been sharing with people is that he has the power to forgive this gunman that wounded him. And maybe you saw the video on 9 News yesterday, or maybe one of these other media outlets that I've mentioned. Maybe you saw it on the internet or on TV. Pierce said that he's already forgiven this gunman that wounded him and took the lives of so many other people. And so many people all across the nation are asking, how is that possible? How can we live with the power of forgiveness? How can we learn to forgive somebody even when they hurt us really, really bad? And this morning, I just thought it would be so appropriate to talk about this very theme today, the power of forgiveness. You may know somebody that was injured or lost their life this weekend, or you may not. But every single one of us in this room deals with the issues related to forgiveness. And today, we just need a word from God when it comes to our own heart and learning to forgive others, just as Pierce is learning to forgive this gunman that severely wounded him just a few hours ago. In fact, Pierce texted me this morning and he said that he's going to be having a second surgery probably later today or tomorrow. He took 3 bullets. He took a shotgun blast to the shoulder. He took another bullet to the shoulder and then one to the foot. And all 3 different types of guns that the shooter had, he unleashed on Pierce. But he is doing well. Pierce is doing great. His spirits are strong. He's anticipating getting out of the hospital very soon. And he wanted me to tell you how much he missed you guys and loves you guys so much and is looking forward to being back with us again very, very soon. But this is an amazing story that somebody that's talking about such a horrific event could talk about it in the context of forgiveness. How is that possible? It's possible with the power of God. Today, we need to understand what God has to say to us from His Word about the issue of forgiveness. Let me invite you to grab a Bible under your chair, or maybe you brought one with you. You have one on your cell phone. If you'd open up to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Today, you can follow along with us as we talk about the power of forgiveness. I used to hate it when Christians talked about forgiveness because I felt like it was people being naive, or it was just people giving false advice that had never really been hurt before. And then as I began to grow in my faith a little bit, I began to understand forgiveness from another perspective. Did you know today you can be deeply wounded, deeply hurt, deeply sinned against, and live in the power of forgiveness? It is possible. Doctors tell us it's so important for us to live with forgiveness because it even has physical effects on our body. Many cardiovascular diseases, heart issues, high blood pressure, other related ailments are directly traced to people that have large amounts of bitterness and unforgiveness in their lives. There's a spiritual issue. There's an emotional issue. If we're going to be the people that God wants us to become and to live spiritually as God wants us to, we have to walk in forgiveness. We have to live in forgiveness. And that's why what Jesus has to say to us today is so important. It sets us free spiritually. And finally, bitterness spills over into other relationships. You see, we have this false idea, I can hate him and love everybody else and be good. But did you know that when bitterness and unforgiveness is in your life, it just oozes out of you and it begins to taint and to destroy and to dismember all of the other relationships around us. And many times we don't see that because we think, well, I just can't stand her, or I hate him, but everybody else is good. But the seeds of unforgiveness begin to grow and begin to develop in our heart. And today we, as the people of God, have to learn what it means to live in the power of forgiveness. Today we need to be inspired by the story of Pierce, one of our own church members, a follower of Jesus Christ, and how the message of the gospel has impacted his life. And this is exactly what Jesus was speaking of in the 18th chapter of Matthew. The word forgive actually means to let go or to send away. You see, when you begin to walk in forgiveness, you begin to let go and to send away those feelings of bitterness, of angst, of hurt, of unforgiveness that cause so many damaging problems. And forgiveness is to give up the right to even hold someone in a debt who has wronged us. It's not wanting revenge. It's giving up resentment against punishment. Sometimes we say, you know, I've forgiven him, but boy, I sure would like to see him suffer. You know, we say that sometimes, don't we? Oh, man, they deserve to pay for that. We have to be so careful because unforgiveness can creep into our lives in a way that is unforeseen. And sometimes even unpredictable. It's deep in our heart. And sometimes we don't even know that unforgiveness is there until moments like this, or until moments of other tragedies. And when they arise, that unforgiveness, those seeds in our hearts rear their ugly head, and we see, oh my goodness, wow, I can't believe that came from within. It's incredible. Forgiveness is not to set someone free from an obligation, or it is to set someone free from an obligation that is the result of a wrong that's done against you. But listen, here's what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not being a doormat. It's not having people step all over you. Forgiveness is not being best friends with the person that's hurt you. You probably won't be. You might, but probably not, and that's okay. Forgiveness is not justifying what happened. It's not denial. I mean, we cannot deny that the horrific events of Friday morning, Thursday night, are just nothing short of demonic and terrible. One of the worst shootings in American history. More than 70 people shot. I mean, that is just crazy to even think about. It's crazy to even try and put into words today. It's terrible. So to forgive others doesn't mean that we ignore or that we deny or that we're somehow naive or ignorant. But forgiveness is a conscious effort to let the power of the Holy Spirit within us liberate us from those feelings of anger and hostility towards those who have wronged us. And there's a battle that's going on in our heart for forgiveness. See, no matter what's going on in your life today, there's a battle for forgiveness. And if you say, man, I never struggle with this, then you don't have any relationships. You know? Because if you're married, or you work in an office, or you live next door to somebody, or you have some children, or you're related to anybody, you're going to struggle with the issues of forgiveness because we all hurt one another at times. And we have to learn to deal with this from a biblical and a spiritual perspective. And that's why Jesus spoke about this issue with so much wisdom. So much wisdom. And God is giving us strength to deal with the pain that has been caused by a madman. But this is an opportunity for us to check our hearts and to hear from God today about a very powerful spiritual principle, the principle of forgiveness. And here's what Jesus simply said in Matthew 18. If you want to boil it all down, Jesus said you have to keep on forgiving. You got to keep on forgiving. That's the message of Jesus here in the 18th chapter. Forgiveness is not a weakness, it is a strength. Did you know that? Sometimes we think, oh man, if I forgive others, that means I'm a wimp. You know? It means I'm not a fighter. It means I'm not a man. You know? But to forgive others is really something that comes out of spiritual strength and vitality, not out of weakness. It takes much more strength to forgive others than it does to be angry. Anger is a sign of weakness. And not forgetting justice, it's abdicating to a higher court. It's saying, the Scripture tells us that vengeance is mine, says the Lord. So it's not our job to go around and to punish people for the wrongs that they've done to us. God will settle the score at the appropriate time. But Jesus says we should never stop forgiving. And you'll notice when you read the teachings of Jesus that he placed a great deal of emphasis on our need to forgive others. Because having a forgiving heart is an essential part of living the Christian life. And we all have issues when it comes to this, but today we need a word from God. Now, Simon Peter thought he had this all figured out. And listen, if you think you have forgiveness all figured out, then you are confused because this is messy and difficult. But Simon Peter came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, let me tell you a little something. I have this forgiveness thing put in order. And here's how we forgive, right, Jesus? Look at verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and he said, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Now, Peter thought he was really smart. You see, the quota of the day was you were to forgive somebody three times. And on the fourth time, you could whop them. But the third time, you had to be gracious. That was what the Jewish law practiced. And so Peter says, man, I'm a man of God. I'm a follower of Jesus. So I'm going to multiply that times two and add one on top for a bonus, right? Three times two is six plus one is seven. So I'm going to forgive those that wronged me seven times. Right, Jesus? Isn't that profound? Pat me on the back, you know? Whoa. And Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, you don't get it. Because forgiveness is not a mathematical formula. It is not a quota. It's a lifestyle. God wants us to live a lifestyle of forgiveness. And Jesus says 77 times, but Jesus didn't mean that we sit around and we would check boxes, you know, and that we would calculate how many precise times people wronged us. What he meant was that we need to live a life of continual forgiveness. So Jesus wasn't speaking literally, he was speaking figuratively, and he speaks in hyperbole here to communicate a point to Peter, and Peter's like, oh man, I thought I had this all figured out. And now Jesus is redirecting me, and he's saying, no, it's not seven times, but it is 77 times. Or another translation says, 70 times 7. And Peter thought his limit was so high, you know? And yet something happened. It's kind of like if your mother-in-law is driving you crazy, and you think, man, I forgave her seven times, and now it's the eighth time. I'm going to pull her hair out, you know? That kind of thing. That's not forgiveness. You may want to do it. That's not forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is a lifestyle. It is a lifestyle. It's not just a mathematical formula. And you have to be tenacious about forgiveness. You have to work at it. I mean, we have good days and bad days, don't we? Sometimes I get up and I'll walk up and I leave for the day and I think, man, I'm so filled with the Spirit. I'm just feel so forgiving today and walking with God in a beautiful way. And then there's other days when it's a little harder. And sometimes that unforgiveness creeps back into the heart. Jesus says we have to keep on forgiving. It's not just a one-time deal. It's a continual thing. For some of us today that have been wronged and hurt really bad, forgiveness is a daily thing. It's something that you have to work on consciously every single day. You have to say, I'm choosing to walk and to live in forgiveness. Now, Pierce is a great young man, a great example of forgiveness. What a powerful story. How could anybody forgive a gunman for shooting them three different times? I mean, that is incredible. Pierce is he's an outstanding guy. But I got to tell you something. Pierce serves an amazing God. Pierce serves an amazing God. And when an amazing God is living in your life, you will begin to go places and to say things and to accomplish feats that you never could do in and of yourself. It's the power of Jesus Christ within you that gives you the power to forgive. You may be thinking, man, that sounds cool, Ryan. I would love to forgive others, but I cannot. You know, you need the power of Jesus to do in your heart what you cannot do yourself. And that's what Pierce has been experiencing, and that's what God wants for us. Now, Peter thought he was so much more gracious than he really was. He was so proud of himself. Man, seven times, Jesus. Woo! You know? And Jesus says, let me tell you a little story. Oftentimes, Jesus would teach, he would make a point, and then he would tell a parable or a story to illustrate the point that he was trying to make. And he tells Simon Peter this story. Check this out in verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And as they began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold to repay the debt. And the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Jesus tells us about a man who owed a great sum of money. In fact, he owed 10,000 talents. And to give you an idea about how much that would be like the entire tax of the region of Galilee for 1 year. For 1 year, the region of Galilee would give 200 talents. So this would take the region of Galilee 50 years in tax money to pay off the debt of this one man. If you calculate it by average wage, a wage earner in the ancient times, Jesus was talking about a man that had a debt that would take him 500 years to pay off without interest. Okay, the idea is this is an impossible debt. It cannot be repaid. Jesus is talking about a sum of money that could never be attained. And this man throws himself before the master and begs for this master to cancel the debt. And you know what? Lo and behold, he does. And the man's so grateful and so thankful. He says, whoa, I had this massive debt and now God has forgiven me. Or this master has forgiven me. And really this is a personification of God. God is ultimately the master. And did you know that God has greatly forgiven you? You know, when you ask Christ into your life and become a follower of Him, God does a work inside you, in your heart, and in your life. And God begins to take you to some places you've never been before because you have the power of Christ within you. And God cancels that debt. Listen, I am so glad that our salvation is not about our own performance, because if it was, we would all be in bad shape. But God has freely given us His grace and canceled a massive debt in order that we could be His children and follow Him. Is the grace of God in your life? Is it in your relationships? Is that the characteristic of your life? The way that Pierce is able to forgive is because the power of Christ is within him. See, oftentimes we want justice when we're wronged, but we want grace when we've screwed up. We have this double standard, you know? And what we're going to see in the next few verses is that the tables are going to be reversed, and this servant is going to make a huge mistake. I heard about a man that went to see the doctor because he was feeling so terrible, and the doctor gave him an examination, and he came back in the room, and he said, okay, I have a diagnosis. And the man said, well, tell me, what's wrong with me? And he says, you have rabies. And the man grabbed a piece of paper and began to write just as fast as he could. And the doctor said to the man, he said, listen, are you writing out your will? And he said, no, I'm writing down the names of every person that I want to go and bite. Rawr! See, when we walk in unforgiveness, we want to go around and bite people. We bite this person, we bite that person over there. Sometimes we bite the people we love the most. And we keep trying to figure that out. Why am I biting the people that I love? Because there's unforgiveness that's there. Deep-rooted in our lives. And Jesus goes on in verse 28, and he continues this story. And check this out. This is incredible. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he grabbed him, and he began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees, and he begged him, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back." But he refused instead, and he went off, and he had the man thrown in prison until he could pay the debt. You see, forgiveness experienced should be forgiveness expressed. But not in the case of this servant. The very man that had been forgiven 500 years worth of wages now has a very small amount, minimal amount of money that's owed to him. And he's not gracious. He's trying to choke the guy. He's trying to take him out. The incredible thing is that 100 denarii would be an equivalent of about $15 today. 15 bucks. And to put this in perspective, the man who owed the equivalent of over $10 million, who was forgiven, was not willing to forgive a man that only owed $15. Is that incredible? You know, that is a picture of the life of unforgiveness. We want the master to forgive us, and then we turn around, but we don't want to forgive others. God has freely, graciously, greatly blessed us, forgiven us, changed us, put up with all of the funk and junk in our lives, and yet when it comes to forgiving others, we really, really struggle, don't we? It's inconsistent. It's hypocritical, isn't it? Wow. You've been forgiven. God has forgiven you. And listen, the root of being able to forgive others is understanding how God has forgiven you. God has freely forgiven you. There's no strings attached. If God has freely forgiven us, why can we not turn around and give that away? But listen, a lot of people have never experienced the forgiveness of God in their lives, and so they don't have anything to turn around and give to other people because they've never experienced it in their lives. Maybe today you need to begin by giving your life to Christ and inviting Him to come in and really teach you about forgiveness from the beginning. Others of us, maybe you know the Lord, but you've just let resentment and hostility and anger and whatever else kind of creep into your life, and you see the inconsistencies. Man, I want God to forgive me, but boy, I sure don't want to forgive anybody else. Jesus says, this is crazy. This is nuts. We are to forgive as we are forgiven. And when I see God's mercy in my own life, it compels me to be merciful to other people. When I am judgmental and critical of others, that's when I forget about what God has done for me. And I'm sure many of you can relate to that. This morning I was texting with Pierce and I said, we're talking about unforgiveness. Would you like for me to share a message with the Edge Church on your behalf? And he said, Ryan, please do. And he sent me this text and asked me to share it with you this morning. This is what he said today. He said, tell them that I have been blessed to have forgiveness, the forgiveness of Christ in my heart. I forgave the man that shot me, and I have been praying that he finds remorse and that Jesus would come into his heart. Is that not incredible? Is that beautiful? How is that possible? It comes from a heart that is forgiven. Had Pierce not known the Lord, had Pierce not experienced the grace of God, it would be really, really difficult for him to turn around and forgive somebody else. And now he's saying that the power of the Lord in his life is what is changing. The story goes on in verse 31, and Jesus says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they told their master everything that had happened. And the master called the servant in. He said, you wicked servant, I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? And verse 34 says, in anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. And this is how our Heavenly Father will treat each of us unless you forgive your brother from your heart. See, when the master heard about the hatefulness of the forgiven servant, he immediately threw him back into prison. And the man is back in debt again. You know why this parable turns out this way? Why? Because unforgiving servants always end up in prison. Bitter people live in prisons of anger and guilt and depression and hostility. And the only difference is that God doesn't have to put us in jail. We build our own prison cells. We build our own jails. We create our own prisons. And that's why the book of Job says, some men stay healthy until the day they die, and others have no happiness at all. They live and die with bitterness in their hearts. And that accurately describes this servant. I want God to forgive me, but I don't want to forgive anybody else. Don't miss the fact that through this man, although this man was thrown into the prison, it was his own fault. You know? There are some of us that are listening to this message and we're living in prisons built with our own bitterness, our own unforgiveness. And if you forget the forgiveness that you have received and you refuse to forgive others who hurt you, God will cause you to endure difficulties such as stress, hardship, troubled conscience, a bitter spirit, poor health. So we have to deal with the sin of unforgiveness in our own hearts. So what do we do? If you don't give it, that means you don't got it. That may not be really good grammar, may not be really good English, but it is really good theology. And today, if Christ has poured into your life, then you need to pour it out to others. Man, I'm talking about some relatives today. I'm talking about spouses. I'm talking about ex-spouses. I'm talking about bosses. I'm talking about sometimes even friends in the church. We have unforgiveness in so many arenas of our life. And listen, our life would be so much better if we could learn to let go, to restore some broken relationships, to let go of some of these emotions, some of these hostilities, and to let God do a work in our lives. Maybe today you've never begun a spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. I want to give you an opportunity to invite Him into your life in just a few minutes, to give you that spiritual strength that you need to become the man or woman of God that He so much desires for you to become. And you may have to forgive the same person 77 times. You may have to forgive that person every day for the rest of your life because what they've done to you has been so horrific. But listen, through the power of Christ, it is possible to live a life of forgiveness. It is possible. And that's what God wants us to do. Because people who are forgiven are people who forgive are people who are forgiven. And that's the power of Jesus. And you know, interestingly enough, Jesus exhibited this on the cross. Jesus is being crucified. What is He saying? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus is, the guys are nailing Him. The guys are stabbing Him in the side. The people are spitting on Jesus. Everybody's turned against Him. And Jesus has the heart of God, the heart of forgiveness. Wow. It's inspirational, isn't it? God wants us to follow the example of Jesus and to abide in the power of Jesus. Because through Christ, we can live lives of freedom, lives of liberty, and lives that overcome all of the unforgiveness that we struggle with on a daily basis. Isn't that good? Today, let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And I'd love to just pray with you. And if you'd like to open your heart to Christ today, ask Him to come into your heart. I'd like to lead you in a prayer of commitment. Just say this. Say, Lord, today I want to put my faith in You and what You did at the cross and resurrection in order that I can receive new life. Lord, forgive my sins. Forgive the wrong I've done so that I can forgive others as well. Now, Lord, come into my life and make me a new person as I put my faith in Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. And we pray all of these things in Your holy name. Amen.